Ilan Wittenberg wants visitors to his new exhibition of photographic portraits to see not subjects in front of a camera, but real people. To do this, he's asked those who sat for him to stare straight into his camera lens. It means visitors won't be able to avoid making direct eye contact with those photographed around the world in their own homes or workplaces. There's a big gallery of his images on our webpage, rnz.co.nz/standingroomonly. Well, Ilan joins us now. Kia ora, Ilan.
Hello, Lynn.
Well, look, what's this idea of direct eye contact between your subjects and the viewers of the photographs? What are you hoping will happen by making it what could be quite confronting for some?
I think these are more honest photos. They are not documentary as such, because I did attract their attention, but you can see that they are actually content. They gave me permission in signs, or you know, in their eyes, to take photos. And I think when people look at those portraits, they can connect to those people, because there's a saying, eyes are windows to the soul. And I think we actually are making meaning machines, we human beings, and the eyes are key. So if we look at someone, we have a gut feeling. We think this person is confident, this person is depressed, this person is angry, this person is dangerous, this person is calm, he's happy, or and so on and so forth. So I think the eyes give a lot of information, and I think that makes the whole experience completely different.
I mentioned there that it could be, you know, quite something for viewers, because these are very direct, you know, eye contact being made. But what about for these subjects from around the world, Ilan, when you were talking to them? Because for them, you know, being photographed is not everyone's cup of tea. And add the fact that they are staring straight down the barrel of your lens. What instructions or directions or help did you give them to make it work? Because they feel very relaxed in these images.
Yeah, so I make it a point to learn the local language, at least a few words, to say hello. With some of them, I actually went and I found out that if I come to them and I shake their hands and I say my name is Ilan in their local tongue, and then I ask them, can I take your photos? And they sometimes ask what's for, and I say, well, I'm a tourist, I want to build an album. And they say, wow, you know, most of them feel honored and privileged that someone like a tourist like me, who would usually just maybe take a photo of them without saying anything, would actually take the time and effort to introduce themselves and ask permission. So most of them were delighted. I would also show them the photos at the back of the camera, and sometimes I would give them my business card so they could follow up and maybe send me a WhatsApp message if they are in that technology. And then I would send them a small photo back, and they would be delighted. So it's a win-win. I'm not just capturing something and walking away. It's and look, it really is a matter of asking people. And usually these are people who are not too busy, so I'm not interrupting their day. They're not like in a rush somewhere. They are sitting somewhere, or sitting some, or standing, or just you know, they are not people who are engaged with other people. I'm not interrupting a transaction or any other. I'm trying to be subtle and polite. And if they say no, I walk away and I smile.
You've got quite the age range. You've got obviously some older people there with those interesting faces that they bring. And then I've got in front of me an image of this wee tot, maybe 1 or 2 years old, but again, looking straight at you.
Mm.
What was the story behind that one?
I didn't ask her permission, but her parents were right there. This was a kitchen of a small restaurant in Egypt, and I just knelt down, and the baby was there with a fly on her cheek, and the fly didn't bother her, and the parents were smiling at me, and I just took a few photos of her. She was so calm there on some sort of a carpet, yeah. Beautiful looking.
Huge range, actually, of expressions too. I mean, on our gallery right next to the one with the wee one, you've got a biggest smile of a woman, I'm guessing from the jewellery, perhaps from an African nation. But it's just sheer joy, and her hands are framing her face so beautifully.
So that's actually quite unique. So that was in Tanzania, and she's a Maasai. And look, most of them were extremely stern and very serious looking. But she was young, and I think she had like a banana stall underneath, which you cannot see in that photo. And she was waving the flies because there were tons of flies, you know, everywhere. And she was just delighted and delightful. And that's how that photo came to be.
Well, the backgrounds are almost as arresting in many of these as the subjects themselves. So you have in one image a man in overalls that look like pretty oily overalls surrounded by huge stacks of tyres. And next to that, there's a gentleman in a shop with glass bottles on glass shelves. So, I mean, they're obviously able to relax a bit because they're in their place, you know, in their habitat, in their territory. But the backgrounds are really fascinating.
So thank you for noting this. I mentor photographers basically mainly in New Zealand, and I judge photographic competitions. I keep telling people that the background is as important as the foreground. So it's a synergism, and if the background is not suitable, then even if your subject is amazing, it's not going to work. If there is some disturbing element, if there is too much clutter, or if it's the light is not correct. So everything has to sort of work, and I'm slightly becoming too perfectionist in that area. But when it works, it really makes a much better picture, and it tells more of a story because it's in situ, and you can understand, you know, where that person is. It's not disconnected from their culture and their environment. It actually tells us a lot about who they are and what they do.
Ilan, these are all in monochrome. I'm sure they would have looked astonishing in colour too, but why go with monochrome for this series?
So there's a few reasons to that. The main reason is that monochrome is extraordinary, and most of us see life in colour. So by using monochrome, I can emphasize shape and form and make the focus more on the person rather than the environment, because the environment you could see in those photos is sometimes very busy, and there is yellow and green and red. And so by making it all monochrome, I can actually bring out, so to speak, the person and their expression. Also, if I want to create a cohesive collection, a portfolio, and this is going to be exhibited in the Parliament, it's on the wall, 38 prints are going to be there on Wednesday. They have to be looking uniform. I cannot have, you know, all sorts of color tones and temperatures, and so this way I can create a uniform presentation.
Oh, sure, this text just came in with you, Ilan. Tony from Dunedin says, as a now retired pro photographer, I've never understood the reticence of some people, especially Kiwis, of having their photograph taken. Eyes, as you said, are the window to a soul and make a good portrait infinitely better. I took many, and the ones with direct eye contact always worked the best. So you'd agree with Tony on that one. Is this a series you continue to plan working on?
Yes, so this is actually... So I created a few of these collections. When I visit a place, I try to make a point to make time and create portraits of the locals. And this is sort of a collection from different places in the world. So this is, as you said, some are from Egypt, some are from Tanzania, some are from Rwanda, Morocco. There are some from Jerusalem and some from New Zealand and some from Australia. So I tried to pick some of the more interesting ones and create something, especially that travel was off the cards, especially when I was given the opportunity to exhibit. But even now, most people won't travel anywhere. It's too expensive and too risky for most. So this is actually an opportunity to actually step into another world, so to speak.
We've just got a few seconds, Ilan, but I just wonder if you could describe one of the New Zealand works in this series for us.
So there is two of them. One of them is a boy with an eel on his shoulders. I was driving to Hauera, And on my way back, I could see these two boys, and one of them had this huge fish on his shoulders. And I stopped the car and I asked the other friend if he could move slightly backwards and if I could take the boy's photo. And he was standing right there. You can see the mailbox and sort of a path, and it's going onto some farmland in the background. And he was posing beautifully. And his mom actually made contact with me because I gave the boy, he's like, I think he's 11 or 12. So I gave him the business card and she was delighted with the photo. So yeah, that's how that one came to be. The other one is of a couple, and they stand in their living room. So that's the only one that's slightly staged. The way they, so he's holding a rifle and she's sitting there with her hunting boots, and it's, they're actually kitchen, and you see a wonderful wallpaper behind them plus the heater. They're a wonderful couple, and they gave me the opportunity to create their portraits.
Lovely. Ngā mihi nui. Thank you, Ilan. Ilan Wittenberg's exhibition, Faces of Humanity, opens at Parliament Building in the Beehive's Executive Wing on the 12th of May. Do check out the photo gallery. It's gorgeous.